Testing 1, 2, 3, testing. There you go. I invite you all to take your seats. Good morning. You all awake? Good morning. There you go. There you go. There's two of you out there. All right, turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's pray this morning. Gracious Father, we come rejoicing in a new morning. Each day is a gift from you, and as our each heartbeat and each breath that we take is sustained by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the new mercies that you've given to us each day. We pray as we open your word now for Sunday school, that it would be a blessing and encouragement to our hearts, that we would be encouraged to walk closer to you and be encouraged to be unified as a church body. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read our text this morning, and it's going to be a brief, more just encouragement to our church family, and then we're going to spend some time praying. The text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And today our church is having a lot of announcements, a lot of decisions, a lot of things going on. And we're having Nathan is being voted on, and Victor is being voted on, the Constitution is being voted on, a new budget is being voted on and so on. And Nathan and I, as we were preparing or planning for this week, we thought it would be fitting to have Sunday school be a prayer time focused on the church being unified through this and having a good, healthy movement forward through these things. But I also thought it was fitting, of course, to be able to pray in line with God's word. So I wanted to start off this morning simply by looking at a passage that considers the church's unity and where we find our unity in. Because we can pray for unity and want unity, but unless we understand where our unity lies and what the foundation of our unity is in, we cannot be helped. So Ephesians, as we know fairly well, we've just preached through it as a church family recently, is split into two sections. You have the first section, chapters 1 through 3, which is all theology, and it is rich in doctrine regarding our salvation in Jesus Christ, especially chapters 1 through 2. But then in chapter 4 through 6, we have the implications or the applications of the salvation and of this gospel. And as Paul turns that corner, as Paul begins to apply our salvation, what our lives are to look like if we've been saved through faith, which is a gift from God, the very first thing that he points us to is walking worthy of the calling with which we've been called, and that this leads to having church unity. It's the very first thing that he points out. So he begins by saying, therefore. Whenever we have the word therefore, we look back to see what it's there for. So therefore what? Because, as Ephesians 1 says, God the Father, in love, predestined us to be saved. He sent his Son to shed his blood to redeem us. He sent the Spirit to come and seal us. He's working in us great and mighty ways through the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that this is the same power that raised us from the dead spiritually, and that we are saved not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, that we have been saved by grace through faith, and that faith is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, and that as that salvation has come, He says in verse 10 that we are his, in, of chapter 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. He goes on in Ephesians chapter 2 and talks about Christ bringing us from far off, being once being aliens, now being brought in, so separated and alienated from a relationship with God. Now he's brought us in, close to God, by the work of Christ. So therefore, because of these incredible and wonderful truths of your salvation, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, urges us, he commands us, he strongly admonishes us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And really, that could be looking back right to that verse I just read of chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship. He has given us the gift of faith to believe and be saved so that we would be crafted by him unto his glory. And we are to walk worthy of this call. And the manner in which we are to walk worthy of this call is having humility. Not thinking of ourselves higher than we ought to think, but rather having a humble estimation of ourselves, remembering that we were once lost, dead in our sins, as the beginning of Ephesians 2 says. Having gentleness, the same attitude that God has shown to us. He has graciously and patiently reached down to us for salvation. Having patience, and also bearing with one another in love. As God has shown us incredible love through Christ, so we too turn around and we show love towards others. And that's what he gets into and explains in chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love. How? Just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us as a offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrance. So we are to be loving one another. But the main command that I want us to focus on this morning is verse 3. Being diligent. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As we are humble and gentle and patient and bear with one another in love, the goal of this, the purpose of this, is to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I want us to break apart this verse a little bit. The word unity here ought not to miss the connection with the one emphasis in the following verses. Why do I bring that up? Well, it's not saying that we are unified with all the so-called churches around us, right? We don't have unity with a church down the street that doesn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what Paul is pointing out here. What he's pointing out is within the local body which teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through grace, through faith in Christ. That is the unity that he is pointing out and encouraging us to have. And that we are to be diligent to preserve this unity. That there is a hearty labor that goes into it. It is constant work. You can't take a break from it or a vacation from it, or it can fade. Why would he put in diligent? Well, maybe because preserving the unity of a church is actually hard work. Right? Maybe if you think it's really, really easy just to be unified and get along with everybody in the church, you actually don't spend that much time with the church. Maybe if you think it's just really, really easy to get along with everybody and be perfectly unified, you don't know anybody very well. Because it's very natural that as sinful human beings get to know one another from different backgrounds and different workplaces and different locations, there are going to be differences. There are going to be things that don't quite click. But our hope is that we can be diligent to preserve this unity. And the key point here is the word preserve. If you're preserving something, it means that it's what? It's already there. It's not saying to create unity. It's saying to preserve unity. So no matter where you're from, no matter what background you have, no matter what job you have, no matter what preferences you have, you are already unified with the body of Christ. If you truly are part of the body of Christ, a follower of Jesus, we are preserving this unity that's already there, and it's unity that is found in what or who, according to this verse? Unity of the, it's not a trick question, verse 3, go on. Unity of the Spirit. All right. I was thinking maybe your masks don't allow you to talk very loud. So preserve the unity of the Spirit. This unity is found in the fact that we all have been sealed by the Spirit, as Ephesians chapter 1 already talked about, and we are indwelt by Him. We're being led by Him. We're following the book which was inspired by Him. We can come from the furthest backgrounds possible, and yet we find unity that surpasses all the differences in the Spirit. No matter what color you are, no matter what work you do, no matter what education you've had, no matter where you grew up, no matter what your preferences are, as far as style of worship or style of dress and so on and so on and so on, you have unity based upon the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God. And He gives this bond of peace, this unity in the Spirit. It gives us a bond, a connection that keeps us together in peace with one another. You see, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you are also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So as we continue on past this verse into further explanation, he points out that there is one body. Now, we don't have time to get into all of this, but we understand that there is one universal church. That is, all believers, all true believers make up the universal church, the bride of Christ that will be presented before Christ at the end as his singular bride. But we can't see the universal church. We don't know each person who is either a believer or not. You walk by people every day that may be believers and you don't know them. So how is this big universal church recognized? How does it function within local churches? But what he's pointing out here is that there is only one church. That might be confusing, especially in our day and age where you have a church over there and a church over there and a church over there and a church over there, all by different names and so on and so on. But what Paul is pointing out is that if you take all the gospel preaching churches, true gospel preaching churches, they are representations, local representations of one main body, the universal church. The bride of Christ. So whether you go by the name of a Bible church or Baptist church, you're part of the one bride of Christ. And so on and so on. There is one body, and there is one Spirit. There is only one Spirit of God. How do we come to salvation? The Spirit of God convicts us of our sin. He gives us new birth. He seals us unto the day of redemption. He makes us God the Father's. And if this person over here is trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior, and this person over here is trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's happened by the same means, the work of the one Holy Spirit of God, thus creating unity. He says, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, we share the same exact hope of our calling which has been given to us of salvation. Yes, we come to know Christ in different ways, you could say. Some of us were raised with Christian parents, and we came to know Christ at a very young age. Some of us have come to know Christ later on in life. Some of us maybe came to know Christ through a friend inviting us to church and hearing the gospel. Maybe some of us had a family member share the gospel with us. Maybe some of us had no friends or family that knew Christ, but you came across a Bible and you started reading your Bible and you came to know Christ. There are different ways in which we come to know Christ. But there is only one way in which we know Christ. It's recognizing we are sinners, that Christ is the righteous Savior, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and that he rose from the grave. And in that sense, all of us come to salvation, all of us come to eternal life through only one way, through the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. Humbling ourselves under his lordship, recognizing him as the Savior, believing in our hearts, confessing with our mouths, Jesus Christ is Lord. So we all have one calling, one hope. We all serve one Lord, Jesus Christ. We all share one faith, faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. We've all only have one baptism. Romans 6 talks about the spiritual baptism that has taken place. As you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes and he unifies you alongside of Christ, and he takes your spiritually dead state and it's crucified and buried alongside with Christ and then raised to new spiritual life. And each person who's trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior has had that happen to them. So we all share in this one baptism. And it's all under, of course, the one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All things are unto God the Father. All things that happen are controlled by God the Father. All things that happen are to the glory of God, and so on and so on. And therefore, as a church, we can have differences. We can differ in preferences and minor things. We can differ in areas that are not quite as clear. We have reasonable interpretations on both sides. Why? Because we're unified by one main thing. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our salvation, the Holy Spirit, our Lord, the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and our Father, God the great Almighty. We all find our unity in this, and therefore we ought to be diligent to preserve the unity that we already have. See, churches do a whole lot of things to seek to unify their church, right? You hear of different outings or people, this happens a lot in the corporate world, right? Where a company takes their workers and they go to a camp where it's supposed to produce unity. And sometimes those things can backfire, right? But for the church, we don't need gimmicks and things like that. Spending time together is great. Yes, I'm not putting that down. We're supposed to fellowship, devote ourselves to fellowship, and devote ourselves to gathering together as a church family. But we don't need to create unity. We already have unity based upon our salvation and the foundation of our faith. Rather, we are called to preserve that unity. And how do we preserve it? Well, again, going back, be humble, be gentle, be patient, and bear with one another in love. This is how a church preserves the unity of the Spirit, which binds us together in peace. Father, would our church be full of unity for your honor and glory? Would we preserve the unity which we have through the Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to have a little bit of time of prayer, so we're going to have Nathan come up. And then after Nathan, if you'd be willing to come up and pray as well. And then after that, if there's time, maybe Sue could come up and pray as well. And just about maybe two and a half minutes of prayer focused on today and the members' meeting and for unity of the church.
that we can view each other, Lord, as we ought. Father, I ask that you would protect us from divisions and the kind of schisms that tear apart churches. I ask that you would protect us, Lord, from bitterness among each other. Protect us, Lord, from making things that are not the primary issues, the primary issues. Lord, help us to keep everything in the proper perspective of your word. Lord, you know the tendency of all of our hearts is to be proud and to want to argue our point, to want to prove ourselves right. Give us humility, Lord. Help us to value the lowliness of mind that you speak about in Philippians 2, and to take upon ourselves the mind of Christ. Father, we know as we do that, and we know that as we allow you to transform our mind by your word, that, Lord, you will unite us closer together as you unite us closer to Christ. Father, we confess that we cannot love one another properly without a proper love for you. And Lord, we cannot love you properly without the right love for one another. Help us, Lord, to love our brother as we ought. Help us to reach out and care and be there for one another, Lord, as members of the same body. And Lord, we confess that we can only do this faithfully by your grace and power, Lord. And so thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to unite us and to bring about that sort of unity in our midst. And we thank you for Jesus, who's made all that possible by his work on the cross. Today, would you be uplifted in our worship, in our prayer, in our time of looking at your word? May Jesus be honored and exalted, and in his name we ask these things. Amen.
Gracious Father, we are thankful for reminding us through thy word how we ought to have unity with one another. We thank you, Jesus, for the shed blood, making us your children. Without that, we have no hope. And help us to have the unity of the Spirit in our midst. Though we are just like the body, we have different members, different functions, how we created. We, as a church, we are many members, but yet one body as through Spirit. We thank you, O Lord, and help us to love each other, knowing that our foundation is laid upon Christ, the Savior. Lord, help us to forbear one another and care for each other. And look after things, fathers, as you have reminded us to be imitators of Christ. And help us to, we need your grace to do all these things we cannot do on our own. And we as the church, the Port Washington Bible Church, help us to all work together for the advancement of your kingdom, that we go out and reach out to our neighbors and give us that zeal and the passion for the perishing soul. As a church, we pray for the members' meeting and that we would see that the unity in our midst one more time. Thank you, Jesus, for you have been forbearing us despite all our sin, all our shortcomings, and how we ought to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you would help us in the days to come and be with us the rest of the meeting, and may your Spirit continue to operate in our midst. We thank you, Jesus, for hearing your prayer. In the name of Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right, we're going to finish there. That leaves us just above 10 minutes of time to fellowship before we begin our main service at 10:45.